Oh, shit. I tell you what. All right, let's turn that on down. Right there. All right. Y'all know I like that there Jefferson Starship. Dang, that's pretty good right there. All right. WineCellarMedia.com. I still want to say Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, but I went through and I actually, after 4 years, I went and changed the name of the program. I retired the Father Teresa costume. I still have the Father Teresa costume pictures for whenever I feel like memeing them for like Negrotarian scripture or anything like that. We are live in the Martha Fracking joint. Put the link out. Phoenix Collider is still currently doing the tag list on the track. And we are recording, so we need Phoenix Collider to speak with full voice so that both microphones pick her up.
No.
Yeah, both. So no. Both. Say no. No again.
No.
No. That's no. It. You're still low.
Why do you keep trying to make me yell? I don't like yelling. I'm not a yeller.
Black women supposed to yell. Look at you. Look at my screen. Look at your decibels. You can see me versus you. Why is the man so loud and the woman so quiet?
Because patriarchy exists.
So your feminism whispers.
Doesn't everybody's?
Fuck no. Hillary Clinton's feminism bombs.
Chill. What is that?
That's
we
it.
We don't have that here.
I am deliberately...
We don't chill.
In this moment, I am turning the microphone toward and putting it closer to her so that we get some volume.
Some volume. I'm not even that low. What are you doing?
Jesus Christ. Okay. Decibels are melanin. I'm going to need you to get darker for the show.
I'm not even black.
Ma'am! I forgot light-skinned niggas ain't black. Jesus Christ. Alright, maybe you are tuning in live through the Facebooks. You can chat with us in whatever comments section where we put the link. Or also, if you click on the link and you go to it and you scroll down, you'll see a chat space. And I will even leave a comment in the chat space saying, hello, fucker. I put hello, fucker in there.
It's nice.
Of course, it's hello, 3 asterisks. And an ER.
Mm.
Because this is the emergency room. It is a Wine Cellar emergency. We should stop fracking around. This is an action-packed episode. There's a lot going on. Alright, so a Florida man does the worst impression of Tiger Woods ever. Democrats bring along Republicans to okay a bill penalizing companies boycotting Israel. White Catholics in Wisconsin target a student for using a language that is native to this land that they renamed as McMurica. Sex workers in Uganda collaborate to fight harassment and rape by good cops. Banks financing the Dakota Access Pipeline. You might be interested in what Chief Pied Piper of Beckyism is involved in one of these banks. The answer may surprise you, or as Jimmy Dore might say, or will it? I'm biting that from Jimmy Dore. You come flex on me if you want to see me, comedian man. I bite your
wow.
Style, son. That's right, I'm appropriating from the Irish. Questions about Cole's most controversial practice may finally be answered. Which, I mean, I kind of disagree with that title. I mean, just digging up, old weird remains and setting them on fire is controversial in and of itself. But mountaintop removal mining is bugged out. We have an audio clip from that. We also have that Whoopi Goldberg clip. I want to do that towards the end.
Okay.
Like one of the last segments, if not the last, Whoopi Goldberg clip where she finally gets angry to defend a man. Ms. Whoopi Goldberg defends the fellers.
Well, yeah. That's not new. She was defending Michael Vick.
I defend Michael Vick. Yo, Getting mad at dog fighting. The irony. You're mad at an NFL player over dog fighting that happened at his house while he wasn't home, while you're celebrating the fact that football players are human fights with uniforms you like looking at. Get the fuck out of here! Alright, we have boxing. We have mixed martial arts. Right? Is there boxing in the Olympics?
I think there is.
Oh, you support the Olympics? So you support all this human fighting, but
fencing
you're against...
Fencing is an Olympic activity.
Fencing. Capitalism is a human, right? That pits the proletariat against the proletariat. And the only time the proletariat goes against the bourgeoisie, out come the tanks. Alright? You want, like, that's one of those things that's, I'm about to say this, beyond black and white. I'm telling you, as soon as some white kids go against capitalism, they gonna get treated like knuckles. You're gonna find out just how much of a nigger you really are if you ever challenge capitalism.
Oh yeah, like that one famous picture from all the riots that they had before. Remember that girl sitting on the curb and a cop just walks by and casually kicks her in the face?
Holy, that's right.
Remember that?
That was a kick to
the head. Yeah, that was like...
Just a kick. Like, the human leg, that's like the human arm three times.
Well, that and the fact that he was in uniform, so those were probably extra heavy-duty boots, possibly steel-toe.
Jack-booted thugs. And how good it feels to be in Illinois, up north, right? And there's lightning storms out here, but they're mostly sky-based light shows. So I'm actually sitting next to a window broadcasting. I would not do that when I was in Florida. That's a no-go. You will get zapped, dear friend. All right, you will get the B-I-S-ness. Yeah, let me see if anybody's commenting on anything already via the Facebook notifications where niggas get black, niggas get dark, colored in fact, acting like a mark. What's going on over here? All right. BlindSellerMedia.com, SocialDissonance.wordpress.com. There's a little German homie, Cornelis. Already jumping in on the book and movie recommendations. He's not fucking around.
Hey.
Oh, wait, I said he. That nigga's non-binary, right? That nigga said, really good sci-fi with smart political commentary. Check, Ken MacLeod.
MacLeod?
Are you a fan of Ken MacLeod?
MacLeod?
Incorrect. It says Ken MacLeod.
MacLeod?
No, this ain't no MacLeod. Jeez. Christ, this woman don't know how to pronounce nothing. And I see guest 668 posted up in the joint. Shout out to the homie Jenny Loco posted up in the joint. Oh, excuse me, the homie Anna Loco tends to come up in the joint and post up. Yeah, but I know another thing is, though, like, we're back in the school year. Some folks have kids and they're busy with the whatnot and what have you. Some folks are teachers. Like, that's what's interesting. Like, people who are professional educators follow me. I'm like, I better not fuck up. Like, I know they see my grammar mistakes in things that I say. And they're like, oh, you seemed so smart until you left out that semicolon.
Aww.
Oh, the big homie, Kim Vokes.
Yes.
Yeah, Kim Vokes. I think that's the lawyer homie, right?
Yes.
Yeah, she's one of them law-talking folks. And she has a page on the Facebooks for black people that go on cruises to post pictures of what you did on your cruises. Hit up the homie Kim Vokes for that. Yeah, if you get jiggy like that and you go on cruises, she has a page where she'll highlight black people getting fly. Right? You don't gotta be no black celebrity. You just a nigga doing a thing and you wanna hop on a boat and float. Right? Just, you know, make sure it ain't no, what was that cruise that, where people were like shitting off the side of the deck and stuff? You don't remember that?
No.
Oh! Alright, we're starting this episode with a retrospect story.
What the hell? Shitting off the side of a boat.
Cruise.
Why? Why can't people just act right?
No, because the cruise went wrong. Like, it was bad, yo.
I remember the one where they hit like a reef or something and it like sank in a, you know, in a cove or a carnival. Bay or some shit.
You remember the Carnival Cruises story?
What?
Oh man, see, that shows how much of a news nerd I am. This is from back in 2013. Okay, so we're going over to CNN over here. This is not Wine Cellar Media. Carnival knew of a fire danger before a cruise. And so I mean, folks were trapped on that boat. The bathrooms weren't working, so people were like hanging off the side of the boat, dropping the deuce. Like, it was wild. It was awesome.
I think I missed that one.
Yeah, what? Man. You thought you knew things, but you did not know things.
Well,
Poop Cruise.
Poop Cruise. Wow.
Which, in a way, kind of like predicted the primary for this season. Poop Cruise.
It might have.
We're going to talk about carpet bombing. Hey, yo, don't eat the ice cream. All right.
What?
It's
disgusting.
Miss Ma'am. And thanks to you folks out there, we hit our goal for the website hits at 11:35. 1,000 hits Monday through Saturday. I want to get 1,000 hits on the website Monday through Saturday, at least for the rest of this year. After this year, in 2018, I expect a dramatic increase. All right, but 1,000 hits by 11:30 a.m. That's good stuff. It'll keep climbing, folks. Will keep clicking. Good stuff. Hit winecellarmedia.com. Check it out. All right, now for this program, I don't have the Penny Loco audio loaded, so it's just me telling you. Trigger warning. All right. Mm-hmm. By now, we're 12 minutes in, so trigger warning. Like, folks, I don't know, this program is fracked up, all right? It's fracked all the way up. We cover hardcore stories that are, like, word of, like, you might be listening to this, and you might be reminded of a traumatic injury or experience, if you will, a violent attack on yourself from one of these stories. And we also have some bugged out stories. So again, action-packed episode. Let's jump right in with a black woman murdered by a black man, which is the black-on-black crime that we actually need to address.
Yes.
She's a graduate student from New York, Caribbean at a Caribbean Culture Festival. And allegedly murdered. I like that. That's
okay.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Like,
well,
you never know. Black women might still be alive. You never know. Like, you never know when you kill them. They might come
back to life. You don't know. We're hardy.
Yeah, well, they're like the Flood in Halo 1. Like, you shoot them and they jump back up. Like, what the fuck happened? And then they try to attack you with no arms. Ableism. Let's see. So, her name is Tiara Piyu. That's what I'm guessing here, because it's T-I-A-R-A-H P-O-Y-A-U. I'm thinking Tiara Piyu.
I think so.
22-year-old individual was shot in the face after she told a man, quote, "Get off me," end quote, while she was walking with friends during the J-O-V-A festival in Brooklyn. And a feller, he went by the name of Reginald Moyes, a 20-year-old individual, and he was taken into custody in connection with her death after he allegedly made statements that implicated himself to two people. All right, now she was gunned down at the festival in Brooklyn after she told a man to stop grinding against her, because how dare black women say stop, no, or don't. Piyu had been walking with three friends early Monday morning when she was shot in the eye at close range.
Ugh.
Around 4:15 a.m. Authorities said that Reginald Moyes was driving drunk and had a Caribbean flag wrapped around a bloodied hand when he was arrested, because, you know, you shoot, the blood squirts, your hand's all bloody.
Mm.
Because he's a fucking murderer. He's a black man that kills black women. He's essentially, I'm okay with saying he's a rapist. I'm not even saying alleged rapist, assumed rapist, maybe a rapist. Like, if no doesn't mean no to you, and if no is presented, your response is murder, most likely you're a rapist. Like, and grind dancing, that essentially means I would actually use the word sexual assault, because that's when a feller spreads his legs, gets up to a woman, and rubs his genitals on her.
Yeah.
That's a sexual assault. I typically don't use that. I typically use rape, but that's because folks usually use sexual assault as soft language for rape. Reginald Moyes has 5 prior sealed arrests. I think the Freedom of Information Act disagrees with that. Allegedly, he called a friend after the shooting and told them, quote, "Would you mind if I put my gun in your apartment, dear friend?" End quote. Paiu, 22, was shot in the face after she told the man, "Get off me," and he then told another friend, "I think I shot somebody on the parade route." Damn, nigga, you don't even know if you shot somebody. How drunk are you? Said, "I didn't know the gun was loaded."
Why would you be carrying it around if you don't know if it's loaded?
He's a fucking liar.
That's ridiculous.
He's all kinds of liar. And then Moyes allegedly fled to his girlfriend's apartment. Because that's what you do when you have a girlfriend. You go and rub your genitals on somebody else and then shoot them when they say no. Yeah. And again, like, that's why, like, it can be cringeworthy or whatever, but, like, I'll trip when black women are with men that are not black, because, like, right here within blackness, black women are treated like niggers, all right? Women are not the nigger of the world. Black women are the nigger of the world.
Mm.
And it was there that he drunkenly fired 2 shots into a mirror. Oh! So the gun that he didn't think was loaded, he shot 2 more times. Again, like I said, he's a fracking liar. Which caused the injury on his hand. Wait, did they test the blood and make sure it was all his? Come on, we're doing this Wednesday. The murder was Monday. Let's get to work. But then again, cops are not good workers. They suck ass.
No.
Moyes then fled into his car and crashed into several parked vehicles, losing one of his tires. This nigga was George Bush drunk. Like, you know, George Bush got arrested for a DUI in the 70s in Texas.
Didn't his wife run someone over too with a car?
How drunk are these people? What is happening?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she killed someone with a car.
These people got a whiskey IV next to the bed. Like, that's ridiculous, yo. Again, like, the cultural relativism of it. Like, to get a DUI in Texas in the 70s...
As a white man.
Like, you had to be steering the car with your breath. You fucking so drunk. Yo. Continuing. Police said they discovered the gun that killed Paiu at Moise's girlfriend's apartment, with tests confirming it matched to a shell found at the murder site. There you go. Chief of Detectives Robert Boyce said that Moyes told investigators that he thought he shot somebody, saying that the gun went off. I'm not sure. I think that's how he talks. That's how guys from Brooklyn talk, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they talk like old English professors.
Right.
Nigga.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes, that's actually correct. No. That's actually the way you're supposed to say it. Is anybody saying anything in the chat rooms?
No, not yet.
Good stuff. Fun stuff. Meanwhile, no arrests have been made in the murder of another person that got killed there, 17-year-old Tyreka Burrell. Just more and more. So we got to get it together. All right. So that's what's going on. There's a lot to this article, and we reposted it, got it put up at winecellarmedia.com in case other places fail you. Winecellarmedia.com has the hardcore schniz.
Yes.
Okay. All right, let me see what I have going on here.
Yeah, by the way, she did in fact run someone over with a car when she was a teenager.
Well, were they in the way of her car?
They were on the other side of a stop sign that she ignored.
Okay. Well, that stop sign was clearly telling them to stop because somebody driving drunk might be coming through. This here, Texas. And Cornelis, who was on this program talking about the Civil War some episodes back, Well, yeah, that part, he said, Ken, oh wait, he, that individual said Ken McLeod, and especially the Star Fraction series. You might want to check that out. I'm going to ask him, is that books or movies? Star Fraction, is that books or movies, old chum?
Old chum.
Yes. And Kim Loco said, Southside with you. Rashani of the Single Simulcast program said, Transformers, the movie. And he also said, The Get Down and Atlanta and Bury. I might mean Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which, fuck yeah, like the original Buffy the Vampire Slayer, that's my shiz. And Joy Loco, what's Joy's page? We're going to find that. We're going to find that and bring it to you. Joy Loco has a page Bossy on Broads. The Facebooks.
Huh? Bossy Broads.
Bossy Broads. Joy Loco of the Bossy Broads suggested Warriors.
Ha, I love that movie.
Oh, you like Warriors? What's yeah. going on in Warriors?
It's almost like they took a video game and made it into a movie. There's a bunch of various gang factions, but they're all kids around the city, like teen gangs. And one gang gets accused of doing something they didn't do, so then all the other gangs try to take them out. So it's almost like a video game where you have to fight off one group and then you level up and fight the next group. And you know.
Jesus Christ.
Pretty good.
All right, Warriors. I personally recommend Warriors. It's kind of like a video game. Where like you defeat one level and then you power up and you like matriculate to the next level. Warriors is very good. I personally recommend it.
Really?
And you should check that out. And Cornelis Loco said that Star Fraction is books. Alright? So
yes.
Read a book, fool.
Read a book.
Little Buster.
Books are good for you.
Alright, that sounds like a fair deal. It sounds like it might be a fair deal. Let's, all right. Now, it is Wednesday, white-on-white crime, white-on-white Wednesday, but this one is a inadvertent black-on-white crime.
Inadvertent.
Well, caught on camera, police need your help finding the woman that you see right here setting fire to a Clearwater man's car. You see her doing it there. There's a $5,000 reward if you can help. Only ABC Action News reporter Cameron Polam spoke with the victim, and he has this exclusive story on this.
I have no idea who she is. I've never seen her in my life.
Thomas Jennings is looking for answers tonight. Who's the woman caught in this surveillance video setting his car ablaze? Jennings says a roommate woke him up Saturday morning to the chaos.
He came running in the house telling me my car was on fire. So we immediately ran out there. He had a pot of water just trying to get it to go out, and it was too much.
Jennings quickly checked the security cameras surrounding his home and saw this. A young, well-dressed African-American girl first checking out this Ford Explorer, then making her way to Jennings' Honda Civic. In the video, the woman is seen lighting the rear of the car on fire and appearing to fan the flames.
She was throwing in some sort of paper or something like kindling. They make the fire go more, and then she just walked off.
According to fire investigators, a rag was lit on fire and put in the gas tank, causing the flames to quickly spread. They also believe the woman was carrying some sort of flammable liquid in a beach bag, determined to turn the car to ash.
Everything was gone.
A sign now sits in the front yard offering a hefty $5,000 reward to whoever turns this woman in. Investigators aren't sure if it's a case of mistaken identity, but for Jennings, who's now out at least $5,000 himself, one thing's for sure.
It really is frustrating, especially not knowing why or who.
In Clearwater, I'm Cameron Polam.
Okay, so what happened there was she had a beef with her most likely currently ex-boyfriend, though you know how those things work out sometimes, and so she set fire to the wrong car. So, and you heard the news clip, a well-dressed African-American woman set fire to the wrong car. Like, damn, now, if they do find her, I just want to know what the boyfriend did. What that punk-ass nigga do? He did some punk shit, didn't he? Little Buster. What did he do? So she set fire to the wrong car. And an innocent white man done got his car burned.
Probably has insurance, though.
Maybe. Maybe.
He'll be all right.
They don't always.
Oh, well. That's a him problem, then.
And then, like, with the newscaster, I don't know if he was serious or sarcastic, because it is Flobbiter. It is still hot until late November. And she just had on shorts and a t-shirt. Now, maybe for him, the standard is just really low for those people to be well-dressed. I'm not sure. All right. And from there, let's go ahead on into the LGBT news update. And then we'll swing it back, bring it back just like this. And give you some more wine cellar.
On the white side, in the wine cellar.
Are you done?
No. No, not for another hour and a half.
Aww, I'm gonna be hungry.
Well, you stayed home from school.
You are listening to White on White Crime in the Wine Cellar.
It's now time for Big Gay News, brought to you by Lavender Media. This is Andy Lean in Minneapolis, and here are your headlines for Wednesday, September 7th, 2016. First up, big gay news out of England. Gay clergy urge greater inclusion in Church of England. BBC reports that 14 Church of England clergy in same-sex marriages have called on bishops to do more to include gay people in the life of the church. In a letter to the Sunday Times, they said that they wanted to eventually see gay couples allowed to marry in church. Some of the clergy signing the letter were revealing that they were gay and married for the first time publicly. The letter comes after Bishop Nicholas Chamberlain said on Friday that he was gay and in a relationship. Publication of the letter comes in the run-up to a College of Bishops meeting from the 12th to the 15th of September, which will discuss issues of episcopal ministry and mission. The clergy said bishops should be bold and allow gay people to celebrate without fear and in openness, though they said that now is not yet time to change the church's official understanding of marriage. Next up, anti-gay conservative leader Phyllis Schlafly has died at 92. Gay Star News reports that Phyllis Schlafly, a leading opponent of women's equality, abortion, and gay rights in the U.S., died on Monday at the age of 92. Her son, John Schlafly, was outed in 1992 by a gay activist. His mother considered it a deliberate effort to embarrass her. It also did not change her opposition to gay rights, including same-sex marriage, according to the New York Times. Her gay son defended his mother's activism, saying, "Family values people are not out to bash gays." Schlafly helped launch the modern-day conservative movement in the 1960s and 70s and founded the conservative group Eagle Forum in 1972. She is best known for her very public opposition to the Equal Rights Amendment for Gender Equality, which suffered a narrow defeat in the 1970s. Next up, lesbian soccer star Megan Rapinoe kneels during national anthem. LGBTQ Nation reports that U.S. soccer star Megan Rapinoe knelt during the national anthem Sunday night before the Seattle Reigns game against the Chicago Red Stars in a little nod to NFL quarterback Colin Kaepernick. Rapinoe said, "Being a gay American, I know what it means to look at the flag and not have it protect all of your liberties. It's important to have white people stand in support of people of color on this. We don't need to be the leading voice, of course, but standing in support of them is something that's really powerful." For our final story, two men planning attack on gay nightclub deported from France. New Now Next reports that two men were deported from France last month after it was discovered that they were planning to attack a gay nightclub. Redouane Dabi and Ayoub Sadki, who were reportedly in contact with ISIS, were deported to Morocco after planning an attack that paralleled the massacre this Bastille Day in Nice, according to local media reports. In addition to the gay club, the men were allegedly planning to attack a restaurant and to use trucks to run over pedestrians in the Place de la République. Dabi and Sadki, who are also planning to set nearby buildings on fire, were deported on August 26th after authorities in Morocco requested that they be returned to the country. That's it for today. Thank you to Shane Luke and Linda Rains for compiling the stories. I'm Andy Lean in Minneapolis. Join us and tweet your take on today's stories on Twitter at the handle BigGayNews.
This live broadcast and archived chat room is being hosted by the Secular Sistas at secularsistas.org.
Back this time, and Phoenix Kalita's microphone is actually on for the live recording, so you might hear her this time.
No.
That's a thing that may happen.
No.
I almost want to check again and make sure you have to turn it on.
I heard it. It is. I just turned it on.
Nothing. All right.
I will reach across this table and stab you with my pen.
So we were riffing yesterday, just outside talking about the whatnot and the what have you.
Yes.
And you're trying to think of something you want to write.
Yes.
About this whole business with like egalitarian white supremacy.
Yes.
And like the white women and the kind of being socialized to the ownership of black men's bodies, black women's bodies too, but yeah. You know, in the context of a gender binary and heteronormativity,
right?
Black men's bodies. Yeah, did you think any more about that? Get any clear thoughts? Because we had a tough time trying to figure it out yesterday.
We did. No, I keep landing in the same place that it's you know, the assumption that black people exist to be owned as as products and. By turning down white women, black men are putting themselves in danger because you can't tell the ownership class no. And it's just, you know, that whole thing with white supremacy and now, you know, white women saying, if white men can do it, we can do it too. White men get to own people. We want to own people. I want my own plaything, you know. And I think that that is something that, you know, is very, very prevalent in white feminism. I find women getting very anxious to engage in oppression when they can, particularly under the guise of white feminism, because they're in this really unique position where they can be like Lena Dunham and, you know, be upset when a black man doesn't pay attention to them, but at the same time, they still have white women tears, and under patriarchy, if a black man does do something that's mean to them, they can still go home and cry to the white men and have the black man punished. So it's really sort of like a best of both worlds for them right now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, at the same time, like when I was in that disagreement with Lydia, and like, and I just closed it with, you're clearly just team white woman, you know, because it was about like Hillary Clinton, and I was like, she does, like, if you look at it, like when people say, like she doesn't like that people say Hillary Clinton's cold and calculated, and it's like, when we're talking about white male politicians using the Southern strategy, that's just a another way of saying cold and calculated. Like, using the Southern strategy is a cold and calculated thing to do. Putting a little Confederate flag on your flyers, that's a cold and calculated thing to do. Mm-hmm. But suddenly when we critique Hillary Clinton for the exact same thing, it's just sexism. And that's because Hillary Clinton really is a Pied Piper of white feminism. Like, she doesn't have to make sense. She doesn't have to be consistent. Mm-hmm. Obviously, like when you look at what she said when she landed in Bosnia.
Sniper like, fire.
Right, but then you see the video, and it's like, so you're just a liar. And then before we went live, I was just listening to the news and listening to NPR, and they have, like, I think a neurologist, something like that, one of those brain fellers. And he was on talking about, like, people that consistently lie forget that they even lied.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then so they'll really be looking in your face saying like, no, I totally said the other thing 4 years ago. And it's like, no, you lying fucker. And it's like, that's why it's great to have videos and audio now and screenshots for social media We could be like, no, fuck stick, you said that, like the one I just recently posted. And all I did, I was just looking for images for the program, and I just typed in racist white feminist and started scrolling and saw an old tweet from Lena Dunham where she asked Beyonce Knowles to come play a janitor on her show.
I hope the Bay Hive sees it. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, we'll see what kind of clicks that one gets. I will tell you what. And remember how we got, because like I had a I had a hardcore disagreement where you got uncomfortable. You wanted me to stop with Pamela.
Yes.
Yeah, when we first did a program like saying like white women can practice sexism on black men. Because it is based on gender, and it is a practice, and that's what we're talking about with the suffix ism. So it is sexism that white women practice on, not just black men, but white, I mean like Anna Kasparian with the, I have Mexican boyfriends, you know, like all that shit. Like,
some of my best boyfriends were Mexican.
Yeah, that's white women shit. Ah, man. So, but now, here comes, what do we always do in the wine cellar? I fucking told you so.
Oh, I was gonna say, pretend lines don't exist because we cross them.
Pretend lines don't exist because I'm gonna eat some Boston baked beans. But what? This colored woman gonna look at me sideways because I'm gonna eat some Boston baked beans.
Look at you anyway the way I want to.
What? They were 25 cents on the clearance rack. All right, dancing it forward. If anybody has any comments on that, like there is an individual on the line, but I don't know if you want to comment. The 804 individual, if you want to comment on that, you would press 1, and then I'd get a little notification that you want to speak, and then I'd open up your line. And so going back to the books and movies recommendation thread, Joy Loco of the Bossy Broads put Daughters of Dust. It's an all-black female cast, shot in one day. Low budget, visually stunning, inspiration to Lemonade.
Nigga.
Excuse. And another individual said, Inside Out, not the kids one, the other one. What the F is that?
I don't know.
I know about an Inside Out that's a movie with a guy named Robert Klein, I think. Where he was a gay individual.
Oh.
But it was silly because he's
Kevin
Klein. He's a grown ass Martha Fracken man that doesn't know he's gay. Like, just doesn't know. That's silly. And then everybody, like, brought it to his attention because he has, like, effeminate mannerisms. It was goofy. Like, even at watching it as a teenager, I was like, this is amusing, but in no way even slightly realistic. The most real thing about it is that they cast human beings to play the characters. Like, that was about it. Like, even as an ignorant teenager that I was like, this is goofy. Like, this doesn't make a whole lot of dadgummit sense. And I see some folks clicking on my post about the murder victim that we did in the first segment, just in case you're just tuning into the program. That was the opening segment. And so you'd want to catch the archive in iTunes or Stitcher Radio or TuneIn or Last.fm or Google Play or Podkicker. Almost anywhere that you can get a podcast, you can get the archive of the live broadcast, which will be in high definition. That's why I record while I record and why I have to turn the microphone closer to Phoenix Kaleeder because she's a whisper feminist.
Unfair.
That's a strong argument.
I just, you know, when you say dope shit, you don't have to say aloud.
Meanwhile, in Florida, a Florida man does the worst impression of Tiger Woods ever.
Oh, no.
He's 38 years old, and he lives with his parents. He is activating my internalized respectability politics along with my observation of white male supremacy. You are a 38-year-old white man on Earth. Why don't you have it cracking yet? That's like when I see like a tall, able-bodied, homeless white man. I'm like, dude, how did you fuck that up? Like, what did you do? Like, clearly you caused this. Okay, so he's a 38-year-old white man who lives with his parents in the village of Calumet Grove. And he's been sentenced to jail time for a DUI. It was the fifth drunk driving charge for
Fifth.
This is a really white name. Chad Bassford. So Chad Bassford got his fifth DUI and he's now serving a maximum, oh, watch out, 210 days. Whoa, he might miss St. Patty's if he doesn't have good behavior in the Sumter County Detention Center.
So,
yeah.
If he serves that entire sentence, though, he'll still have spent more time in prison than Brock Turner.
Damn, nigga. Shit.
I mean.
Christ, man. Kids. Yo, like, kids get suspended from school longer than Brock Turner, yo. Mm. Jesus balls, man. He will also lose his driver's license for 10 years.
10 years.
And he pleaded no contest to an August 12th, so that's just enough time for us to be saying vote no on Chelsea Clinton, because yeah, the dynasty ain't gonna stop. He pleaded no contest to August 29th to a charge of driving under the influence. His attorney, Carrie Rada, negotiated the deal in which a charge of refusal to submit to testing was dropped. What the fuck? Alright.
Yeah.
Mr. Bassford, Chad, that is.
Chad.
Chad.
We are disappointed in you, Chad.
Chad. He's been arrested in April after he was found unresponsive. Jesus Christ. In, check it, a golf cart.
Nigga, stop it.
Yeah. My main man, Chad, drunk driving in a golf cart, son. In a golf cart near the intersection of El Camino Real and Enrique Drive. That's what I'm talking about with Florida, man. Like, they're so determined to name every street that you end up with El Camino Real. What? Like, I'm pretty sure that's in Florida where that, like, it gets memed sometimes. But it actually, yeah, like, I've seen it. I think it's in Winter Park,
mm-hmm,
where the intersection is Gay Street and Church Road. Because they just absolutely have to name everything. They didn't know that the word gay would, you know, colloquialism would move, yes, that in another area.
Yes.
So he's found unresponsive in a golf cart with the headlights and the taillights of the golf cart still activated. So he was trying to be kind of safe.
Wow.
Like, look out for me, I'm the drunken drunk, beep beep. After a deputy woke up Chad, he admitted that he had consumed, ooh, how do you pronounce that? 6 Yingling beers?
6 what? Where?
Yuengling? Yingling?
Yingling?
6 Yingling beers? And a shot of whiskey at Gator's Dockside in Spanish Springs?
Yeah. I would think that somebody who got that drunk and did that much had more than 6 beers. I would just assume.
Well, he had the shot of whiskey, and who knows what the but that's also just what he said he had.
That's true.
Yeah, that's just what he said. These people tend to lie. So he failed field sobriety exercises. He refused to provide a breath example, and he wanted a lawyer.
He's done this before.
His name is Chad Bassford, and his parents own a golf cart. I'm quite sure he's done this before, and he has a lawyer. So Chad has 4 previous DUI convictions. 1995. Whoa, he's 38, right?
Yeah.
Okay, run it back 20 years. He's 18. In 1996. So he got a DUI when he was 17.
Wait, he got a DUI before he was legally even allowed to drink?
Before he was legally allowed to get a cigarette. He couldn't get tobacco.
How did he get a license?
You don't need a license to drive. You just need to be a white man that wants to.
Oh.
In 1995, 2010, 2013, and 14. And, And as a result of that arrest, he was sentenced to 1 year probation, and his driver's license was suspended for 6 months. So wait, so is he getting the probation or is he getting the 210 days? He's going to get the probation. Chad, you're still free, young man. You're still free.
He does not look like a young man.
You can see the picture of him. WineCellarMedia.com. Florida man does worst impression of Tiger Woods ever. You're darn right. Oh, the 804 person hung up.
Oh, they don't like us no more.
Well, who knows? They might still be tuned in. But you know what? Because I was reading the article, they may have pressed one to talk and then they were waiting. And sometimes folks are like, you know, like they think you're ignoring. And that's a logical assumption.
Yes.
That don't hurt nobody, I tell you what, man. All right. So let's go on over and hang out with Glenn Ford for just under 8 minutes. And Glenn Ford of the Black Agenda Network is going to tell you about Donald Trump. Turn your microphone off. It's going to tell you about Donald Trump and open debates.
This show is so reverse racist.
On Tuesday night, just as I was preparing to do a commentary on whether Donald Trump might threaten to drop out of the televised debates if the candidates for the Green and Libertarian parties weren't allowed to participate, I ran across a story that claimed Trump had already done just that. A website called the Santa Monica Observer reported the Trump decision as fact, but without naming a source. Nobody else ran the story, and the Trump campaign said it wasn't true, so it was probably a hoax. However, a Trump threat to boycott the debates remains a tantalizing prospect, given that back in 2000, he said it was disgraceful that the Democrats and Republicans were able to shut the smaller parties out of the presidential debates. Green Party campaign senior advisor Kevin Zeese has all but dared Trump to live up to his principled stance of 16 years ago. Principles aside, Trump has some self-centered reasons to want Jill Stein and Gary Johnson standing next to him and Hillary on September 26th. Very few Green Party supporters would vote for Trump under any circumstances, so a good showing by Stein doesn't come at his expense. But, according to recent polls, voters that now plan to pull the lever for Gary Johnson's Libertarian campaign would otherwise be split about evenly between Trump and Clinton. Therefore, Trump would appear to have a relative net advantage over Clinton if there were a vigorous four-way presidential contest. I personally don't think that such mathematical calculations are central to the way Donald Trump thinks. He really is a narcissist who always talks about winning and can't stand to lose. And unless that comb-over has affected his brain cells, he should know that Clinton is even better at lying on her feet than he is. She studies her lies, while Trump just makes things up as he goes along. If Trump becomes convinced that he is going to lose this election badly or be humiliated in the debates, he will seek to muddy the waters by introducing other actors into the contest so that Clinton can't say that she beat him one-on-one. That is, he'll do the right thing and call for Stein and Johnson's participation in the debates, but only in order to protect his own fragile ego. Right now, some polls are showing Trump even with Clinton, which is probably bad news for Stein and Johnson's chances of getting in the first debate, but that could change quickly. There's little hope that Stein and Johnson will average 15% in the polls, the arbitrary cutoff the Republicans and Democrats have imposed to keep third parties out. That's because the media corporations that both commission the polls and monopolize the news dedicate only one-half of 1% of their election coverage to the Green and Libertarian parties. As a result, about one-third of the public has never even heard of Jill Stein or Gary Johnson. This is what elections have come to in an age when monopoly capital has a monopoly on information and defines what is and isn't news and who is and isn't worthy of public office. Both Trump and Clinton are products of this dictatorship of capital. It's a crime that Jill Stein and Gary Johnson won't be seen by the debate's huge audience unless Donald Trump is convinced he can't win. For Black Agenda Radio, I'm Glenn Ford. On the web, go to blackagendareport.com.
The news is a shit show these days, and we're here to give you a break from the white supremacist media bullshit by bringing you the shitty news so that you can feel less like shit because you know the people discussing all the fucked up shit give a shit about you and the shitty situations you deal with every day. So shit. Pour yourself a glass and settle in for Father Teresa's Wine Cellar.
You gonna speak with your full voice?
No.
Ma'am.
No.
Even over an NDRE instrumental?
No.
Still hating.
Yeah.
Still hating. I will tell you what. Who is this? Who is this as I go through this? Ah, you gotta love when you get the, like, who are these weird men, and I'm guaranteeing they're cis men, that make Facebook accounts with pictures they stole from women and then send you friend requests, and then you go to look at their profile and it's just a picture of a pornography and the thing, and it's just like, come on. Come on, Mr. Marissa Fox. Get out of here. You weirdo. Find a life to live or something, tough guy. Alright. What do we got? We got some stuff, we got some things, some whatnot, some what have you, some this, that, and the other, some Thugabaloo and Nigga Moreau. So, Democrats, bring along Republicans to okay a bill penalizing companies that want to divest, boycott, and sanction. Is that really what it stands for? Did you look that up yet?
No, I thought you looked it up.
Divest, boycott, and... Oh, well, let's look it up. Yep, divestment, boycott, and sanctions.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Black all day.
You might be.
Colored. WineCellarMedia.com. So the bill is AB 2844 out there in California, which, you know, like that state senate is heavily Democratic, if you will. And every once in a while they get a Republican governor like Schwarzenegger for some reason. And so both houses of California's legislature have now approved a bill to ban state government agencies from awarding contracts to companies that choose to join the international boycott against Israel's continued occupation of Palestine. The AB 2844 bill, if it passes, would be a serious attack on the worldwide boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement against Israeli apartheid and its treatment of Palestiniers.
I see what you did there.
Mm-hmm. Companies who chose to boycott Israel, they would be accused of being in violation of the state's civil rights law and would not be permitted to accept a California government contract of US $100,000 or more. The bill, which has 8 different amendments, was eventually passed 60-0.
Yep,
those Democrats know how to rally the Republicans in favor of white supremacy. Good job, Democrats, in the assembly. And we'll now go to Governor Jerry Brisown, and he has to decide whether to veto or sign the bill by the end of September. So it is September 7th. So can you put that in your calendar? That first thing we do at the beginning of October is check on this bill.
Yep.
BDS and civil rights advocates have urged Brown to veto the bill, while supporters of the bill have made much of the trade ties between U.S. and Israel, as well as Israel's positive... Well, hold up. The trade ties? We just give Israel bombs so they can kill brown people out of, like, some sort of intercontinental respectability politics.
Yeah.
I mean, I open up stuff, it says made in China, made in Japan, made in Indonesia, made in the Philippines, it don't say made in Israel. Matter of fact, nothing I get says made in Britain. Nothing I get says made in Switzerland, except for chocolate. And that's just allegedly, because that could just be a brand name. And right? Because white people don't put white people to work on an intercontinental scale. They put brown people to work. It's called supremacy. All right? Now, this is a quote from an individual. AB 2844 is both an attack on the constitutional rights of Californians, I hate that word, and a waste of taxpayer money estimated to cost upwards of $140 million annually, according to the California Department of Finance, which opposes it, end quote, read from a statement from the Coalition to Stop the Bill. And the name of the coalition is Stop AB 2844, which includes over 100 civil society organizations. Quote, government should not be in the business of punishing supporters of BDS, whether corporations, universities, organizations, or individuals, by denying them contracts, end quote, said Nasser. And don't confuse that with Nasser Post. This is Nasser Barghouti from the U.S. campaign to end the Israeli occupation.
So, if the TPP, when the TPP goes through, what happens?
What happens?
Yeah, with this. Is this going to be, can like these corporations come back and sue and say you're fucking up our profit because we choose to boycott Israel and you can't deny us contracts?
They will sue California for the last 3 drops of water they have left. You can bet your buttermilk biscuits on that. 4. Is there water in saliva? They will fucking put a fucking vacuum cleaner in a nigga's mouth. Give me that fucking water. And a number of states, including the progressive North, New York and New Jersey, have passed similar laws already to outlaw the boycott of Israel. The progressive North. Remember that. The North, they're always forward on things. Shout out to the homie Sinead. Just click follow in the social media. You are welcome to check out all of our Marco Fracken content. Let's see what the hell else we got going on here on WineCellarMedia.com. And don't forget to check out SoundCloud.com WineCellarMedia and Patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund. We need you.
Yes.
All right.
You should dress up like Uncle Sam and do that "we need you" finger point, kind of like on a poster.
Shit, it's Halloween. I bet the costume is somewhere.
Yeah. All you need is a beard and a hat with stars and stripes on it.
I like how casually I said that and just ran with it. It's September 7th right now. But yeah, it's Halloween.
Did we not just go past the other day that plaza and the Spirit Halloween store was in it?
Oh, all the fumes from that pet store threw my brain cells off. It was disgusting. That was so grody. And Feeny Loco, right? Okay, so it's a pet store, right? People are walking in there, goofing around, touching stuff. And you know, especially with children, you know, children, they pick their butts and everything. And then they touch the cages and stuff. And Feeny Loco will put her keys up to the cage and have that little dirty cat play with her keys.
That cat was adorable and it was having fun.
You didn't sanitize your keys or your hands or nothing. Dirty cages. Pet stores are grody.
The kids were playing with the poor rabbits and guinea pigs, torturing them.
They smell.
The kids or the guinea pigs?
They were both. They were selling the dogs for $900.
It was a purebred.
What the fuck does that mean? It's a Morgan Freeman? Like, I don't care. Or I guess that would be more like Michael Clark Duncan or Serena Williams.
Michael, yeah, it would be Serena Williams.
Yeah, Serena Williams. That's purebred right there. She can work and breed. All right? Yeah. That there's good nigger gal. Yeah, all right. Yeah, Halloween. But all right, WineCellarMedia.com. How about a little bit more supremacy? And if you see, we have a category cloud. You can click on Becky Lives Matter, Good Cops, White on White Crime. Right now, this is coming out of post-racial. All right, this is under our post-racial tab.
Mm.
And Miranda Washina Watok is a 12-year-old Menominee student at the Sacred Heart Catholic Academy in Shawano, Wisconsin.
Oh, so much of the story makes sense now.
Yeah. And she was suspended from school and school functions for speaking in the Menominee language while in class. The Sacred Heart is more than 60% folks of an indigenous background, native folks. And they're less than 6 miles from the Menominee native folks reservation. Now this is coming from the Native History Online website, quote from the website. When Miranda was teaching a classmate to say Pusol and Ketepinanan on January 19th, her teacher scolded her. Native News Network reported her saying, "You are not to speak like that. And how do I know you are not saying something bad? How would you like it if I spoke Polish and you didn't understand?" Yeah, I mean, just be speaking fucked up English. You don't understand what the fuck you're talking about. Saying stuff like, "Oh, you know, that really fucking chaps my ass." We don't know what the fuck you're talking about. All right, so you're already weird, okay? Continuing on from Native History Online website, the words Miranda was chastised for translate to "hello" and "I love you" in Menominee.
Fucking horrible! How dare again, she?
Terrible.
Ugh.
Smelly children. Miranda kept saying she was only told by her assistant coach that she was being benched because two teachers said she had a bad attitude. At Tanez Washinawatic, Miranda's mother, that's her name, Tanez Washina Watok, and that's her mother, and she told the Native News Network, quote, "I wanted to know what she did to make them say she had a bad attitude," end quote. There was a dispute over who actually did the suspending, but the school has admitted it, quote, "failed miserably in its handling of the matter," end quote. Deacon Ray Dubois, the communication director of the the communication director of the Diocese of Green Bay, which operates the school, also told the Native News Network that the school does not prohibit the use of any language and that does not prohibit the use of any language. How the fuck do you teach? You just walk in and play charades all day? All right, let's go. Quote, "The number one priority is to help this girl." Get the fuck out of here. Shoot this guy in the fucking face. Continuing from the Native News website, Miranda isn't a troublemaker. Her mother told Native News that she is mature and respectful. Miranda plays basketball and is the team captain of the volleyball team. Quote, "When it comes to the native language, Miranda should be proud she learned and can speak her native language." Excuse me. End quote. Now, Tara McGregor, a commenter at the NativeNewsNetwork.com, says, quote, "As a teacher, you have a responsibility to be culturally aware of your students and encourage diversity. This is a reminder," excuse me, "to all of us that this type of oppression still exists. I hope that this example of ignorance is not forgotten and we continue to move forward while creating a world that fosters children who embrace their heritage," end quote. Oh, excuse me. Rhonda Livaldo of the Acoma Pueblo and president of the Native American Journalists Association wrote a piece for the Native Connection stating that, and here comes this word, Indian countries' support for Miranda says, quote, "All Americans need to know about the boarding schools. They need to know how the language was beaten out of my elders, so much that their children never learned the language for that fear of them being hurt. This all happened in this country, and so many denied the abuses, but it happened," end quote. Kaepernick, though. Continuing, last paragraph, what happened to this 12-year-old child is wrong. She did nothing wrong, yet she was chastised by the staff and ostracized from school functions in which she normally participated in. What are your thoughts on this? Leave your comments on WineCellarMedia.com or
Mega
in the Wine Cellar Podcast Friends group, though we don't let everybody in sometimes. And the homie Anna Loco just left a comment 2 minutes ago saying, white people doing typical white people shit, i.e. trying to dodge responsibility by pushing it onto victims.
That what meme, is this? That's the meme that she is referring to.
Wait, who's referring to a meme?
That, the link. That she, that's the link.
Okay, so that comment I just read right before we go to our next clip is some people... There's a page called Boycott Beyoncé Knowles. Why?
I don't know, but I glanced at it. Lots of pro Blue Lives Matter and lots of anti.
How do you boycott? No! How do you. Ma'am, you're away from the microphone. How do you boycott a. How do you boycott something that you already didn't patronize?
You make a Facebook page, obviously.
Oh! And you try to convince the coloreds to do it, too. You have your smart device set up to that deal.
That deal. Yes, there's an entire page called Boycott Beyoncé. Apparently, they think that autism is caused by vaccines.
Oh, yeah.
If dueling ever came back, a whole bunch of people would be a lot less offended.
Yeah, a lot of white people would be a lot less offended by reverse racism because you'd be dead, nigga.
And lots of Blue Lives Matter. And apparently a meme that says, why is it that white people have to feel guilty for slavery and not black people? I guess you should probably feel guilty that you were...
Wait. Why do you have to feel guilty? Where, who made this rule and why do you have to follow it? Especially considering that you don't follow it. Like, right. Like, you're saying you have to do something that you've never done. Like, you're like 44 years old and you're complaining about having to do something you've never done.
A greater percentage of free blacks owned slaves than whites.
Were they... All right, yeah, these people... So, basically, it's people not trying to make sense.
Yes.
It's basically a bunch of Susan Matekas just hanging out. There's a person named Susan Mateka. She's horrible. We'll be talking about her a lot. Even after she's dead, which will be a good thing for the planet. And so there'll be a lot of talk on that, and we'll be riffing on that individual a great deal. So let's dance it forward. The guest 668 still tuned into the program. Thanks for hanging out with us. And so this is our long break period where we're going to learn a little bit about a some study results came out on mountaintop removal mining. And the results just may surprise you. Or will they?
Or will they?
Black.
This live broadcast and archive chat room is being hosted by the good folks at Americans United Again.
You gotta keep them separated.
The National Academy of Sciences is launching a comprehensive study of how mountaintop removal coal mining affects the health of those who live nearby. That's welcome news for many coal field residents who've long worried the dust and dirty water from mountaintop removal have harmed their health. As Benny Becker reports, past efforts at research ran into roadblocks and delays.
Concerns about how surface mining affects the people of Appalachia go way back.
All you have to do is just look on the mountains and know that it's not best for the people.
That's Bruce Hatfield, a resident of Mingo County, West Virginia, from the 1979 apple shop filled with strip mining. In the years since, surface mining has gotten scaled up and evolved into mountaintop removal. Instead of cutting into the side of a mountain, it's become common to blast the whole top off to get at the coal seams below. That's Ed Wiley speaking in 2007 about mining in his native Boone County, West Virginia. One mine was right beside his granddaughter's elementary school.
Tears were pouring down this little girl's eyes, and she says, "Gramps, these coal mines are making us kids sick." That hurt me. It was like a sledgehammer.
In 2006, Wiley decided he had to take action. He decided to protest the situation by walking all the way to Washington, D.C. At that point, very little research had been done, so Wiley didn't have much besides anecdotes to back up his arguments. But that same year, Michael Hendricks arrived at West Virginia University as a professor of public health. He soon started to hear worries about the health impacts of mining and the dust it puts into the air that people breathe.
I looked at the literature and found nothing that was done in the United States on public health problems related to mining.
So, Hendricks decided to study it himself.
Many of my colleagues told me when I started that the health problems would be due only to things like poverty or smoking, but we were able to control for those risks, and I can literally remember the very first study hitting the run button on the computer and seeing that, yes, there really was something here. I was surprised.
Hendricks kept on studying the issue, and other researchers quickly followed suit. A number of studies linked mining to a variety of health issues for those living nearby, including increased rates of cancer and birth defects. Hendricks says the response to these studies was not what he was expecting.
When I started, I was naive and thought that maybe the evidence would speak for itself. But I've learned that that's not how things work in the coal fields of West Virginia.
For years, that jingle was brought to you by Friends of Coal and the West Virginia Coal Association. Bill Rainey is the association's president.
I think Hendricks is anti-mining.
Rainey says he doesn't trust Hendricks' research and also thinks it ignores a bigger health concern, the loss of mining jobs.
If he wants to come to southern West Virginia and eastern Kentucky coal fields today to see what unemployment and not operating mining operations has done to the health of people, when they don't have a job, then health suffers.
The mining industry sponsored its own studies to criticize Hendricks' research. One critic claimed that Hendricks' findings weren't reliable because they didn't account for consanguinity. That's the scientific term for inbreeding and an apparent reference to a baseless stereotype about Appalachians. And then Hendricks was called to testify in front of Congress, where he didn't exactly get a warm reception from Louisiana Congressman John Fleming.
I've seen fifth-grade science projects that were more scientific.
You know, I came here not to be insulted.
Yeah, I'm sorry, sir, but I have the time. The time is fine. You should be embarrassed to be here with a study like this.
Hendricks isn't the only person who found that politics can become challenging when you start advocating for research on the health risks of mountaintop removal. In 2013 in eastern Kentucky, state, local, and federal officials formed an organization called Shaping Our Appalachian Region, or SOAR. The idea was to explore how the region can adapt to a changing economy and fewer coal jobs. Here's Jared Arnett, SOAR's executive director.
This is a huge opportunity to connect from the governor to grassroots in a unified effort.
What we'll do, since we've got a small group, is maybe just go around the room, tell who you are.
This is Dr. Nikki Stone. SOAR started off by setting up working groups to identify community needs, and Stone, she chaired the health group. They held 16 listening sessions, and she says people kept bringing up environmental health, including worries based on Hendricks' research.
It came out in every meeting. It came out very gingerly, so I think people have been afraid to talk about that issue for a long time, but it came up over and over, and it ended up at the top of the list.
In its final report, the working group advised that SOAR ask a federal agency for help studying the issue. Dee Davis was part of the working group and is also director of the Center for Rural Strategies.
The director of the CDC said, well, you make a request and we'll send investigators in. That was his promise at the public meeting.
Then, the next time they spoke with the Centers for Disease Control,
we asked why we hadn't heard anything back, and the spokesperson there said she was not aware of any request, but she would look into it and then get back to us. As far as I know, that was the last time anybody from CDC acknowledged their request.
It's not clear where exactly things got stalled, but here's what Jared Arnett had to say about why these concerns weren't a priority for SOAR.
It's about uniting, and a lot of things that may not be a part of SOAR that people want to be a part of SOAR are very divisive.
Dee Davis, on the other hand, says that health concerns need to come first.
It's not really going to help us to sweep big questions about cancer and birth defects under the rug. If we're going to build an Eastern Kentucky economy that works, then part of that is making sure that our communities, they need to be places where people can live healthy lives, knowing that where they live is protected.
There's still no sign that the CDC is going to look into this issue, but with the announcement of two federally funded studies in the last year, the research is moving forward. A study by the National Academy of Sciences was announced just last month, and the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences also has research underway, which Director Linda Birnbaum described during a recent visit to Eastern Kentucky.
We're currently doing complete reviews of all the papers related to the health effects of mountaintop mining. Now, I don't want to prejudge our report, but my reading of the literature is that it's not good for people's health, and why would we be surprised?
I asked Michael Hendricks if he thinks these new government-backed studies mean we've turned a corner.
They are at least recognizing that there's an issue and looking into it in some fashion. I hope that that is a positive shift, but I'm going to wait and see what happens.
For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Benny Becker in Whitesburg, Kentucky.
Well, all right, winecellarmedia.com. You may have understood it to be Father Teresa's wine cellar before, but we hung up the jersey, right? Put the one up. We got a few championships, about 400 of them.
400 championships.
We have a lot of episodes, man.
We do.
Like, it's reached a point where there are now more episodes with you on the program than when before you got on the program.
That's a lot of episodes.
Yeah, so I think I was, I think I may have been at or under 100 when you came along. Because I know, the episode where, after the Trayvon Martin verdict came down, mm-hmm. that was episode number 50.
Oh.
Yeah. And that's back when they were just, you know, these little 30-minute dances that mm-hmm. I was doing. You know, 30, 45 minutes if me and Frickface had extra goofing off. That's another thing. Like, it was, yeah, the program was a lot of, like, me by myself and sometimes Frickface and sometimes a guest.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, Raymond a lot.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's see. All right, so it is Wednesday.
It is Wednesday.
White on White Wednesday. White on White Crime.
Oh, that kind of Wednesday.
Huh. I tell you what. Now listen to her.
Oh, no.
All right. So there was a...
You know it's going to be good when he launches into that voice.
Ma'am.
Yes?
Ma'am. I'm going to need you to color it up. Ma'am. It's her. Now, there was a bit of a dispute between a couple of neighbors in the neighborhood, and, and one feller decided to take advantage of his access to machines, machinery, and such objects.
Oh.
You might call it an incident, and it was on the 700 block of Grimes Road down there in Tennessee where I'm from. And deputies, they started receiving calls from that area on Friday regarding a neighbor that fired multiple shots into the woods. Well, that's all right. Now deputies, they talked to that their neighbor. His name is John Hidgen. And it's he a 48-year-old fella. He a young, strapping man. And he said that, well, there were multiple people hiding and running from them there woods. And they were wearing ghillie suits. And Hidgen told them, their deputies, that he fired them shots into them woods at the people wearing them ghillie suits. Now, a ghillie suit, that there's a type of camouflage of clothing that will make you blend in with the background environment, like trees or snow, which I don't know how you can blend in with trees and snow with the same suit, but that's what happens. Now, albino trees.
Yes, obviously.
After the deputies left, another complaint was filed regarding them their shots being fired. And the deputies, they came on back and they arrested Mr. Hidgen for reckless endangerment. that their incident, that followed earlier reports in that week from Mr. Hidden, and who done told them deputies that approximately five people were shining lights into his residence, and he believed it was his neighbor's employees. I'll tell you what. So deputies, they went into that area and found Hidgens' home had been destroyed. Detectives, they found an orange backhoe at the neighbor's house. Now, the neighbor is 57-year-old Edgar Dallas McLellan, and he was arrested for aggravated criminal trespassing and felony vandalism. Now, Sammy Hidgen is John Hidgen's brother, and he doesn't know why McLellan would do something like that to his brother. He said the two were not into a feud, contrary to what deputies said. Now, Sammy Hidgen, excuse me, is now forced to live in a camper next to where his home once stood because Mr. McLellan took a dadgum bulldozer to it. White on white crime.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why these white folks is worried about Muslims and Islam and all that stuff going on over there when they need to take care of white on white crime in their own community.
Don't worry about the Islamicists. Worry about your next door neighbor.
Yeah. Like, y'all got to fix that. Y'all got problems. Again, man, y'all got a heroin problem right now. All right, y'all having smack babies. All right. They know they is.
They might be.
Now, both of the men are now free on bond, and they're awaiting their court date in Tipton County General Sessions Court.
Does it seem like a good idea to let them both out at the same time, since one was shooting at one and the other one is bulldozing people's homes?
No, you shouldn't. Not when there's white-on-white crime. You should not. So they're out on bond waiting the court date now, and the detectives are continuing to investigate. And according to Sheriff J.T. Chumley, his nickname is Poncho, they expect additional charges to be filed. I think whoever, the person that wrote that article, they were happy to put in that his nickname is Poncho. Like, just in case you didn't understand how goofy these people are. Sheriff Poncho.
Wow, sounds intimidating.
They are way too in the neighborhood. All right, so as we head toward the end of this whole little party that we throw around here, gotta mention, because I didn't mention the Dakota Access Pipeline much, and mostly because I know that they're all just gonna go through. Like, they're gonna happen no matter what. They're gonna fall in a Friday news dump. Rachel Maddow is not going to talk about it. She might mention it in passing. Mm-hmm. She will not connect it the way it is truly connected. So the folks down at Little Sis, at that publication, they did their research, they did their due diligence, and found banks financing Dakota Access Pipeline. We have it up there at winesellermedia.com. And this comes as a new investigation has revealed that more than 24 major banks and financial institutions are helping finance the Dakota Access Pipeline.
Wow.
Yeah.
Almost like it's a whole system of corruption and greed or something.
What? I don't know what you're talking about, woman.
Or something.
Yeah. The investigation was published by the research outlet Little Sis. It details how Bank of America, HSBC, UBS, Wells Fargo, JP Morgan, Chase, and other financial institutions have combined extended a $3.75 billion credit line to the Energy Transfer and parent company Dakota Access LLC. Now that's how, well, Rachel Maddow wouldn't mention Wells Fargo, but if she did it, she would mention Bank of America, JP Morgan Chase, but she would leave out Bank of America and Goldman Sachs, because that's Hillary's homies. You know, like she gets big paper stacks with them. She deals with them. They basically, like, they own a lot of what will be bills that she signs, legislation that she approves of, things that she argues and politics for. And again, I think the only reason, actually, especially considering that the name of the website is Little Sis, and they would dare do journalism and research and find out that something connected to Hillary Clinton is connected to these folks getting attacked by German shepherds. Misogyny. Misogyny. It's just because they hate women. Yeah. I'm telling you, that's exactly why all these Bernie bros immediately jumped to Jill Stein. They hate women. That's why they retweet and support Nina Turner. They can't stand them. Rosario Dawson. They hate these broads. You know all the Bernie bros that tune into Nicole Sanders' radio show?
I mean,
Anoa Chunga? Sure? Yes, that's her real name. They tune into Anoa Chunga's program? Bernie bros. Misogynist.
Well, I mean, you're a Bernie bro, so.
Me? But, and I, this is going to sound so hipster. I was before it was cool. Like,
so you've always been a misogynist.
Like, I was already following Sanders. Ma'am. Ah, man. Yeah, so, you know, but yeah, I mean, Bernie sold out, right? Like, we all know Bernie sold out. We knew it was coming. We knew it was coming when he first started combing his hair. I've been arguing that. I've been trying to let folks know that. Bernie started combing his hair, and you knew that he sold out to Big Afro Pick. All right? He sold out to Thin Tooth Comb. He sold out to Heated Straightening Brush. All right?
He sold out to the Hot Comb.
Big Grooming.
Big Grooming. Fuck Big Grooming.
Yeah. We're not down with Big Grooming.
No.
So Sanders was always a failure for us. We need somebody unkempt. Is Don King still alive?
I think we could do better than Don King.
Really? Who else has wacky hair? I'll give him the talking points. I'll tell him what to say. But we need the hair. Gene Wilder just died.
He did.
We lost that hair. Ugh. Is Coolio still around?
He'd be good.
I hope he's still willing to do his hair like that. Alright, Coolio. We need to take you on a fantastic voyage to Washington, D.C., brother. I hope you're ready. Because it's a gangster's paradise up there. Alright, WineCellarMedia.com, Patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund. Sign up. We need you to keep going and growing. And PayPal.me/PhoenixAndWilliam. We need your contribution to keep going and growing. Thanks for hanging out with us, especially over there in the Flash, guest 668. You were tuned in through the whole damn thing. You heard all the errors. Even in the beginning, when Phoenix Kalita's microphone wasn't on, they were just listening to the dead air, just chilling. They were like, fuck it, dead air, awesome.
Okay.
They were feeling it.
Well, all right.
And that's your wine cellar. Have a good one. All right, so while we were doing the live broadcast, we forgot to do the, I keep wanting to say Oprah Winfrey, Whoopi Goldberg segment where I guess she broke it down.
Allegedly.
On a Hot Topics. I guess that's what it says on the screen there. She broke it down on the Hot Topics. All right, let's proceed to breaking.
Niners QB Colin Kaepernick refusing to stand for the national anthem and to protest violence against black people. Even the president weighed in on it, saying he understands why some veterans might be unhappy, but that it does shed light on a topic that needs to be discussed. And apparently he's getting a lot of, you know, blowback from people and a lot of support. So what do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I think it's your constitutional right.
I was going to say, I don't know any of these people's names.
I don't know them either, but I thought Raven Simone was on this show.
Nah, I mean, her feet are probably tired.
Oh.
Buck dancing that hard, man. What? What? She's probably on a vacation. She's visiting all the continents of Africa right now.
Oh, my God.
What?
To protest. And I think, you know, there are members of the WNB.
Okay, so this is Paula Ferris. It has her name up there. So she's saying, you got a right to protest.
And even LeBron James that wore Black Lives Matter on their shirts during practice. And Colin Kaepernick is active in Black Lives Matter. And I say kudos to those particular players. But the issue that I have here is that it's just so disrespectful to our American anthem. And it's somewhat contradictory because here he is.
It's not ours. Yeah, ours. Well, at the same time, she might mean what we mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's ours and you will respect it, boy. Just because you yellow, you still a black fella.
Playing an American sport, getting paid American money from American fans, and yet he can't stand for our American anthem.
Again, not our, though I don't know which context she's really using. So it's not his, so she didn't, but then again, like ownership, she owns that colored man. Mm-hmm. He will stand.
He is an American.
Yes, he is
and
an American.
And that is the right of an American not to stand or not to.
It is a right.
That's all right.
It is a right. Mm-hmm. But it's very disrespectful. It's very disrespectful not to stand for an anthem that represents what our country is and the lives that were lost.
But he feels it doesn't.
Right there. See, that's the part where you say, so what are all the lyrics?
Exactly. I was like, does that count that other verse that they don't talk about?
Forget don't talk about. They don't know it exists. No one knows more than the first few words of the first verse before you all get bored. All right. Like sometimes, hey, here we go. You can't say this in social justice circles. Sometimes this is where you got to tip your hat to Daniel Tosh. Nobody likes that. Do you have it on your iPod? Do you play that before a workout? You know, national anthem gets me jazzed. No. No, but this song's garbage.
But there are other all ways to us. Do it. Well, no, not for him. Not for him, but this is our constitutional...
The answer that I have, too, is that he's on a team, and mm-hmm. he's a team leader. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think that will... That causes conflict because it doesn't represent the whole team. And I think that that's one way he's doing it, he is donating a million...
Okay, but don't represent the whole team. Hey, maybe the whole team doesn't feel like getting in a nickel defense... But you do what the leader says. Maybe the whole team doesn't want to kick on fourth down. They think they can make that 6 yards.
Yeah.
You do what the leader says.
...dollars to various yeah. charities, and I think that's a better way for him to do it. I think
you know,
he should do it...
That's funny, though, because they're like, well, he has to exhibit leadership skills and do what's best for the team. Meanwhile... Capitalism exists, and CEOs make $500 million a year, and workers can't even get 40 hours a week to ensure health benefits. But, you know, it's important. Leadership is important.
Ma'am.
No.
Ah.
The field, mm-hmm. I don't think as a team leader, if he were an individual sportsman, it would be different. But as a team leader, I think it is
what he's talking about is a very big problem, racism in America. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult, I think, for the average individual to fight racism in America. That's very difficult. So
this is Joy Behar talking.
This is his way of bringing it to people's attention, and he's using his constitutional right. It's ironic, isn't it, that the thing that you have to do is actually burn the flag, don't stand up, don't put your hand. Those are the things that make it more American. That's the beauty of the Constitution. It makes it even more American to do that.
That was slick. That was still disgusting. He's even more American. He's even more imperialist than us. We need to sit.
Country where you can do that. And I also liked one thing President Obama said. He said, I'd rather see young people getting passionate and getting involved and caring rather than sitting back and not. Mm-hmm. My issue with watching that was just that for me, for some reason, that anthem represents military to me. Whenever I've stood for that, I still hold my hand on my heart, which I know is old school, but when I
In that moment.
Yeah, but see, we don't like the military. You see, oh, look at her face. I wish this was a video broadcast. She is about to cry for all those soldiers. Don't you know they do great things for them little Korean gals when they over there?
I stand and I listen to that song, and it just reminds me of people that are doing something
again,
I can't.
Again, ask do what all the
no,
words
you don't
are.
Have to. Oh. But I do. But
I totally agree. You have a right to protest. You know, but to me, it just feels disrespectful to disrespect.
Is this the only word you know?
In my opinion, but that's just my
opinion. The came around in 1930, first of all. It's not like it came around with George Washington. So it can be changed. To me, bombs bursting in air is not my favorite lyric.
That's probably where I get the idea of the military.
Yeah. Well, and also, America the Beautiful is such a nice...
And she smiled. That's where I get the idea of the military.
Of the Star Spangled Banner. Mm-hmm. No refuge save hireling and slave from the terror or flight or gloom from the grave. I mean, listen, people have been protesting, you know, be they athletes who won... gold medals, who stood on the podium and did this, you know, there have always been. The bitch about all of this is we're still protesting the same thing. That's the awful, the awful part, you know. So people, you know, find the ways that they can do it. And yeah, he's given money, he's doing all kinds of stuff, and he's also made, tipped his hat and spoken to veterans and said, listen, this has nothing to do with you. This has to do with the country.
Oh yeah, and I think the take a knee thing is a Buster move. He's still the homie, but if I saw him, I'd be like, yo, every time you take a knee, you a Buster for that.
Yeah.
Where I don't feel I'm represented.
And he did change from sitting to kneeling because he did consult people in the military that said, you know, maybe it'd be nicer if you kneeled.
Yeah.
But the one thing I also want to know is what's next, though. We hear about, you know, the attention to this issue, and I sit back and I say, I'm listening. I've heard you. What do we do next, though?
What's next? Look to people like the Black is Back Coalition that got Ross Baraka elected. What up?
But she says, what's next? But you're the same person who was smiling about bombs bursting in air because it reminds you of the military.
Yeah, what's next is Hillary bombs. It's so much more progressive when you're being bombed by a white woman.
Oh, glass
implication of the issue.
Well, it supposedly raises your consciousness, which is the first step before changing. Well, so that's all really he can do, I think.
Well, Candace just brought up a point, too. He's going to be donating some money as well. But, you know, we know what people are against, but what are they for? You know, instead of coming to the table and saying, I don't want to do this. Well, let's come to the table with some solutions.
Yeah, actually, we have come to the table with solutions.
And you rejected
but
them.
It's really about people recognizing that there's an issue.
That was not that hardcore. Whoopi Goldberg didn't break it down. That's how it was presented. That wasn't really raw. All right, so that's what we had left out of the program. So, hey, tack on another 10 minutes. Patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund and PayPal.me/PhoenixAndWilliam. Have another good one.
Woo!